Geche, Ayaag, Bizendaya, our elders, listen to them, focuses on personal histories of our Ojibwe elders of Minnesota. This program includes personal historic knowledge of the changes they've experienced in Indian country and beyond. Geche Ayaag Bizendaya includes the changes they've seen due to the federal Indian policy as well as state policy. This program targets villages and communities within the boundaries of the White Earth Indian Reservation and beyond to other Ojibwe reservations in our state. Geche Ayaag Bizendaya, our elders, listen to them.
My English name is Walt Ripplinger, or Wally Ripplinger. My Lakota name is Ia Waka, translated Mystery Stone. I was raised on the south side of Hopkins, and we were always told that we were German, French, and Russian. And from a very young age, I always knew there was something not quite right. There was something missing. And I didn't find that out till many, many years later. But before I get to that, I'm really glad that you asked me to come here because it's so important in the Native community that we keep our traditions alive, that we keep our language alive, that we teach the young people that there's nothing to be ashamed of for being a Native person. It's an honorable thing to be Native. The traditional way of life, in my opinion, for Native people is just such a wonderful way. The traditional way has kept me sober for almost 25 years. And I remember growing up knowing or thinking in my heart that there was something missing in our lives. And I remember one time as a little guy, we went back, drove through South Dakota, through the Mulridge area, into the Standing Rock Reservation, and we went up to a Sitting Bull Monument, and I remember looking across the Missouri River out on the prairie, and it was just absolutely gorgeous, and there were a few buffalo out there, and it was just so beautiful. But then a really strange thing happened. I remember my father looking at my mother, and he said to her, "We should have left this land to those dirty, filthy Indians." And I bring that up because when I let you know what happened to me, I'll tie that all in. I was raised German, French, Russian, little white boy, south side of Hopkins, with all the privileges of white society. We were not rich. We came from very meager background. My father was an alcoholic, physical and verbally abused, not only to us kids, us older ones, but also toward mother. So we were, or I was, so the kids were raised white. And back in 1990, and if I get a little choked up here, just, okay. Back in 1990, my mother was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. And they gave her 6 months to live. And when mother passed, we got the funeral director and all that hoopla stuff. And we were sitting in the funeral home, and my mom's oldest sister came, my Aunt Elvina. And I was sitting next to her in the funeral chapel. And my sister-in-law, Margaret, Ojibwe, came into the funeral home, and she went up to where mother was laid in that box, and I have no clue what she was doing. I know she had an eagle feather, and she was doing something, and I leaned over to my mom's oldest sister, and I said, "Auntie, what is that crazy Indian doing?" Char, my auntie turned as white as that blackboard. It's not a blackboard, it's a whiteboard. And she grabbed me by my ear, and I'm going, "What the heck did I do?" Auntie said, "Enough is enough. I'm going to tell you who you are." Outside we went. We sat down on the curb in Hopkins. Auntie was 72 years old. She lit up her cigarette. And she told me our true history. And she went back to when Grandpa, who was German, French, Russian, came to this country, was making his way across the Americas, and he met Grandma out in Wakpala, South Dakota, on the Standing Rock. And they fell in love. And they had a couple of kids at that time. Well, they didn't really have a place to stay, so the native community allowed them to stay in the old granary that was in Wakpala. And Grandpa and Grandma converted that into a home. Then the government came, the Jesuits came, and started taking the children away. And according to Auntie, Grandpa went, his wife, Grandma, if you want to keep this family together, we need to move away from here because they're coming and they're going to take the children away. We need to move. So they left the reservation. I believe it was like 1923 or 24. They moved into Aberdeen, South Dakota on 9th Avenue. Grandpa told Grandma, you cannot speak your language. You cannot be Indian. You cannot dress that way. You must become white. Well, by this time, Grandma was fluent in German because Grandpa taught her. 9th Avenue at that time was south side of Aberdeen, and that was the German community. So Grandma and Grandpa, with their children, lived in Aberdeen, South Dakota, on 9th Avenue, in a German community. And for all those years, until 1990, when my mother passed away, and I made a stupid white man's comment out of ignorance. And unfortunately, there's a lot of ignorant people out there. I found out who I was, and I went. I knew something was missing. And my auntie said, but you know what, nephew? Be careful, because you're white, and you have some native blood in you, but be careful. And I said, but auntie, they're not taking me away. This is 1990. Well, but it's not good to be Indian. Here in the cities, in Aberdeen, a lot of places, it's not good to be a native person. And there are going to be people that when you tell them who you are, they're going to abuse you verbally. So be careful. And I thought, this is crazy. This is nuts. That just can't be. It can't be like that anymore. So I remember I started going to Wachipi or Powwow, mostly here at the Indian Center. And I'm watching the dancers and the fellowship and the love and the community embracing one another. And I saw people that were whiter than me. And I'm going, wait a minute, what is going on here? They were just as native as everybody else. They had native blood in them and they were raised that way. And they were lucky. I was not so lucky, because I missed out. I often thought, can you imagine living your life like my grandma did, not being able to be who she really was, not being able to take her children to Wachipi, to ceremony, to speak the language, out of fear that they would be taken away. And then I remembered that comment that my father made in front of my mother about They should have left this land to them filthy, dirty Indians. And I thought to myself, how deeply did that wound her? And not being able to tell this man who she is. She knew. I mean, my auntie knew, my mother knew it, but they didn't say anything out of fear. So from 1923-24 to 1990, for a family to live in fear, for women, men, children to live in fear, in my opinion, is just unacceptable. And when I walked into the community or the powwow here at the Indian Center, you could just feel the love that's there. And what I started doing is seeking out elders. And I remember I was at the powwow, and, well, you know, our native community, we like to adopt people into the Tiyosh Baye. And I remember I went into powwow one time, and there was a guy sitting way down on the bleachers. And I knew I had to talk to this man, but I didn't know how. I mean, I didn't know. So I went over and I sat down, and I'm sitting next to this elder. And for some reason, I took out my pack of cigarettes, and I offered him a cigarette. He didn't take it. He looked at me and he said, "What took you so long, nephew?" And then he took my cigarette. We just started talking. We're not related by blood, but he's still my uncle. He was from Sisseton, and he and I met one time out at his home in Sisseton. And he said to me, "Nephew, I'm going to take you someplace. I'm going to show you something." "Sure, okay." We went to the building, boarding school, where he was taken and put into boarding school when he was 8. And he said, "Nephew, I want to show you a place that is deep in my heart, that wounded my heart." And he took me downstairs, and like that doorway over there, it had a metal lip. And he pointed at that doorway and he says, "See that doorway?" And I said, "Yeah, it's a doorway. What about it?" He said, "When they brought me here, and I would speak Lakota, the Jesuits would hear me speaking Lakota. They brought me in here and they laid me down on the floor and they tied my ankles together and they tied my wrists together. And they hoisted me up in that doorway. And they beat the bottoms of my feet till the blood dripped off of my forehead. They let me down. They said, 'If you speak your language again, we're going to do it again.'" I said, "Well, Uncle, what did you do?" He said, "You know what, nephew? They untied me. I went outside. I started talking Lakota. And they brought me back in and they did it again. But I didn't give up. They did not break my spirit." Uncle was in his 70s, late 70s, when he passed. He had walked with a limp because of the beatings that he got in that boarding school up in Sisseton. And I often think, I understand why now, hearing elders tell their story about boarding schools and what it was like for them, I kind of get it why Mother didn't say anything. I get it. I don't know if things would have been different. My heart tells me that I missed out on a lot, missed out on a lot of friendship and love and relatives and powwow and good fried bread, wild rice, and good stuff, you know? But I understand why they did what they did. I understand why Grandpa had Grandma leave the reservation with him, you know? my auntie would tell that people on the res, when Grandma and Grandpa were there, they didn't want to go into Mobridge for their food supplies because they would always get ripped off. And Auntie said because Grandpa was a white dude, spoke German, he would go around the community and the people would tell him what they wanted from the stores. Grandpa would go in with the horses, wagon into town and get the food supplies and bring them back and distribute them in the community. And I'm thinking, now that's the way it's supposed to be. Help one another. I am so grateful to have met Uncle Bob. It was maybe another incident that happened here at the Indian Center. Ramona Emanuel, who just passed. My wife and I were at the Indian Center. We were sitting up by the windows. And I looked down the floor and I spotted Grandma. And I nudged my wife, who is a German woman, typical. And I said, honey, look, Mother is sitting down there. And my wife looked at me and she said, Wally, are you crazy? Your mother died in 1990. She cannot be sitting here. I said, look. And she looked down there and she said, oh my God. Oh my God. Well, at this time, I knew to offer some chinchasha. So I got up, scared out of my mind. I walked down there and I sat down next to Ramona. Didn't say a word. Uncle always taught me, when you go talk to an elder, you keep your yap shut until they talk to you. And then, once they talk to you, then you can talk. So I sat there, didn't say a word. Pretty soon, Ramona looked over at me and she said, is there something I could help you with, grandson? And I went, oh, thank you. Thank you, Creator. Thank you. You opened that door. So I gave Grandma some chinchasha. We've been together ever since. We're still together, even though she's walking in the spirit world now. She's sitting right here. But I often think, had we been able to go to powwow, to ceremony, with Mother, with Grandma, when we were little, how many other grandmas and aunties could we have met? And when I go to ceremony, it's like, they're here. They're here. You can feel them. Uncle always and Grandma Ramona always said, when the relatives are here, the ones that are walking in the spirit world, they'll be here, and you can feel them. Raised white, I would have went, what? Are you guys nuts? Let's go get some chains and put you guys in a room because, holy mokes, you must be smoking something. But they're wrong. They're wrong. You can feel them. They are there. They talk to you, not to your gray matter between your ears, but they talk to your heart. I remember Chris Leith from Prairie Island always used to say, the gray matter between your ears you need to survive, but it will get you into trouble. The Creator will speak to your heart, which will not get you into trouble. How many people are taught that? To listen with your heart. And I often think, oh my God, am I so blessed. I am so blessed to eventually find out who I am as a Native man. I don't consider myself an elder. I don't consider myself anything special. I'm just Mystery Stone in the Native community. Like everyone, I've made mistakes. I was a real heavy snot-nosed drinker back in the day. Thank God for the Creator. Has kept me sober. Powwow has kept me sober. Being Native has kept me sober. I think the reason that it's kept me sober is I don't want to disappoint any of the elders. I don't want them to see a life go down the drain. I just don't want to disappoint them. And I think that if we were to really truly teach that to our young people, I don't think we would have all these problems. I think if the Native grandmas and grandpas and aunties and uncles could do like they did in the old days, like they try to do on reservations and the traditional way, I don't really think we'd have all these issues with drugs and alcohol and abuse and all this nonsense. And it's not just the Native community, that's rampant. All over the place. I mean, look around the country right now. There is so much hatred out there. It is just scary. And you and I have gone through that hatred stuff. We know what it's like. It's just nuts, in my opinion. I don't care what you call God, the Supreme Being. Makes no difference to me. Wakantanka, Gichimanadu, Yahweh, Jesus, don't care. We need to get back to basic spirituality. We need to get back to bringing the Creator into our hearts, into our lives. Once, and I'm so grateful for this, to be able to walk with the Creator. I'm not perfect, and I know I stumble, but I know the Creator is right there to pick me back up and put me back on that red road. And we need that so, so badly right now. And, you know, I think about what would it have been like for Grandma, for my mother, for my auntie, to actually be Native women, for my uncles to be Native men. What would life have been like? What would we have learned? What kind of stories would we have been told? You know, I was in my 50s. I'm 65 now, so 1999 would make me 50-something. It took a lot of patience on the elders, on the, you know, Grandma Ramona and Uncle Bob, to put up with questions and stuff. And I'm so grateful that they did. And so when younger people come to me, when I'm fortunate enough where they seek me out, I will do my darndest to give them an answer. And if I don't have an answer, I'll find someone to, so that they get an answer. Because I think our way of life is just so critical to keeping our community safe and together. Like when you and I met at Powwow, we didn't know each other from Adam. Now we're sitting across the table from each other, chit-chatting about all kinds of stuff. That's what being human is about. That's what, you know, the Creator made us two-leggeds. We're supposed to be this real smart thing that the Creator made. We're not that smart. We are not that smart. But the Creator brings people together for a reason. And I like to tell people, and I believe this with all my heart, I don't care what color your skin is. Could care less. I don't care what your sexual orientation is. Don't care. Because I was taught by the elders, the Creator doesn't care. When we walk onto the spirit world, in Lakota teachings, we walk through the Milky Way. And I believe in Anishinaabeg or Ojibwe, you go to four different campfires and you meet with four different men. And then you are allowed to go with the Creator. I believe that's how it is. Creator's not going to say, Char, you're an Indian woman, so you go over there. John, you're a white guy, so you go over there. Loretta, you're black, so you go over there. And Ming Chao, you're whatever, you go over there. Creator doesn't care what color we are. Creator doesn't care what color our skin is. I think what Creator cares about is how we walk our life. That's what we need to get back to. And we're missing that. We're missing the connection, or not all of us. We're missing that connection with Wakantanka, the great mystery, Gijimanido, the great mystery. And if we look around, you know, and I'm sure your parents said the same thing, my parents, my grandmas and grandpas, that, yeah, this generation is just going to down the toilet. What is the matter with these guys? But somehow, with the grace of the Creator, we've made it. And I think we're going to make it again through this, I hope. I am so grateful to be Native. I am just so grateful. Yeah, I had advantages of being a little white boy raised in the south side of Hopkins. I didn't have to go through all the heartache and turmoil of listening to someone stupidity saying, well, we should have left this land to the stupid, filthy Indians. I didn't have to go through that. I didn't have to go through being called a redskin, all that racial nonsense that's out there. Which is a good thing. I'm grateful for that. And I'm sure there's a lot of people that are in the shoes that I'm in that were taken away, put in adoption families, foster care, whatnot, that had a really tough life. And so I'm grateful I didn't have that, but at the same token, I'm saddened because of all the things that I think I missed out on, being able to really know the community, that loving embrace. And you know, I see young people, we talked about earlier, you know, cell phones and stuff like that. I barely have a computer. I can barely run the darn thing. All these things are good. All this modern technology is a good thing. The Creator put that stuff here for a reason. But the Creator also gave us the ability to speak to one another. And we don't do that hardly anymore. Everybody's doing their little texting thing or their email thing, or their, and it's like, okay, those are all good things, but let's put them down and let's go talk to people. Let's go seek out the elders. Let's go and find people or help people that are less fortunate than us. And I'll give you a good example of that. At the Thanksgiving powwow, after we received our honorarium, and we all know we do not get paid to dance, it's an honorarium to help us with gas, like the food was in the old days. One of the ladies that was sitting with us, the group that I was with, she went up and received her honorarium. She came back. She immediately walked over to an elder and gifted that mazuska or that money to that elder. And I'm going, I like that. That's, you know, and they had a little conversation for a while. And I went, you know what? That's what I'm going to do. That's what we all need to do. I think that's a good thing, to help one another out like that. Those of us that are really, truly blessed, we might not have much, but we're still blessed nonetheless. Help out the elders. They've gone through some mighty tough times. And they probably are in some mighty tough times now. Help them out. Seek them out. Talk to them. Because when they're gone, all of that knowledge is going to be gone. So if we don't go and ask, and I think that's what I miss the most, is my grandma not being able to tell me or us about her life as a child? What did she see? What did her grandma tell her? What did her grandpa tell her? How did they live? How did they survive? What was life like? You know, we all see these silly John Wayne movies, and we're always the bad guys. Come on, we're not bad guys. You see these photographs that the Europeans take or took, and they always made our people look real stoic and No, we have a sense of humor, just like everyone else, because that's a gift from the Creator. We cry just like everyone else. That's a gift from the Creator. And I will tell, and I do this at ceremony, I will tell every man, I don't care how old you are, that nonsense that we heard as little boys, that men don't cry, boys don't cry, take that and throw it right out the window. Because that is a gift that the Creator gave us to use, the ability to cry, to share emotion. I don't know where I was going with that one, but, you know, I get off rambling somewhere, and that's just, you know. But this way of life, I'm saddened that Grandma had to live her life as a German woman. I'm saddened that my mother and my aunts and uncles had to live their lives as just pure white people. I understand that. But I am so grateful to the Creator for allowing my sister-in-law, giving her the courage to be a Native woman in our family. Even though she's married in, she's still my sister-in-law. She's my sister. I just call her sister. Giving her the courage to walk into that funeral home where there was nothing but white folks and doing her ceremony, and then the Creator allowing me to be stupid and ask a stupid question, and then Auntie telling me the truth. And I'm so grateful for that. Because without that truth, even though it was not my intention, I don't think it was Grandma and Grandpa's intention for us to live a lie. But it's an untruth anyway. Okay? And I understand why that happened. But to be able to be truthful with oneself, to be able to be truthful to the Creator, to Wakantanka Gichimanidu, to communicate with the higher power. I don't need to go into a church. I do, but I don't need to. We don't need to as Native people. We don't need someone to speak on our behalf to the Creator. The teaching that I have, and I'm sure your teaching is, we can talk to the Creator all by ourselves. All we need to do is talk. And the Creator will listen. And I'm grateful for that. Because it's a wonderful way of life. It is just wonderful. It's kept me sober. It's kept me married to the same woman for 45 years. Gave me two beautiful children, five beautiful grandchildren, and a way of life that is so phenomenal. We talk about adopting into the Teosh Baye. My sister, Donna, is Cherokee, but she's also African descent. It's really funny because we'll go to powwow, and I introduce her as my sister. People go, "What?" And we can handle the what, But when we're in with the dominant society and we introduce each other as brother and sister, oh my lands, you would think that we're nuts. But we are brothers and sisters. You and I are brothers and sisters. Everyone out there in Lakota, or in Dakota, they say Mitaka Owasan, we are all related. I don't know how to say that in Ojibwe, but we are all related. We're two-legged beings. There's no ands, ifs, or buts about it. I love it. Dave Larson used to say, pigmentedly challenged people don't quite understand. I like that term, because there is no white person. There's no such thing as a white person. They just lack a little pigment. This envelope is white. I like Dave saying, pigmentedly challenged. And I don't know where I was going with that either, but, you know, it is what it is. I remember when we used to go through South Dakota, and I would look out across that prairie, just it seemed like it never ended, and it was so beautiful. Beautiful clouds, and the air was fresh and clean, not like it is down here in the city in this crazy place where we have those vehicles and buses and stuff that are polluting the air and destroying the atmosphere. If you think about the beauty of it all, even here in the city, if you think about the beauty of it, go out there and look at that tree. There's a tree standing out there. It's beautiful. It's something to be admired because it's what the Creator put here. Thank God. What the elders taught me was everything that's out there, everything was created by the Creator for a purpose. A little microphone was created. We didn't create that. The Creator put that idea into someone's head to create that thing. We are so blessed. We are so blessed. And it's good to be Native. It is good to be Native. It is good to be able to dance with relatives and to meet new relatives and just to have a good time and to walk the good road, walk the red road. I believe, I'm not a Bible scholar, but I believe someplace in the Bible it talks about the way to the kingdom is a very hard road to walk. The road of this world is wide and easy to walk. And if we think about that, that's what walking the red road is. That's a hard road. I mean, it is hard to stay free from drugs and alcohol. To love everybody, or try to anyway. I mean, you're not always going to succeed. There are going to be people that you just can't get along with. Well, rather than fight with them, just turn around and leave if you can. There's so many teachings of the elders that we're missing out on. So I think it's up to us, in order to keep our way alive, is to seek out the elders, offer them some chinchasha, I believe it's called asima, and talk to them, ask them questions, learn from them. They're willing to share that, because that's what they were taught to do, share that. And we as young people, we're young, you and I are young, we're only 60, some, 52, 22, 21, okay, you're 21, okay. You're looking real good for 21, huh? We can even learn from the elders. And a lot of people say, well, geez, you know, that person not an elder because they don't have white hair. I remember Grandma used to say, they could be 2 years old and have something to teach you. So that's an elder. Everyone has got something to teach us. Everyone has got something to share with us. If we give each other the opportunity to get to know us, for me to know you, you to know me, for us as two-leggeds to get to know one another, is what we need to do. We need to do that. And some people are going to say, oh my God, that guy's preaching. No, it's a fact of life. We need to get back to the basics of getting to know one another. If we get to know one another, regardless of color, regardless of sexual preference and gender and all that nonsense that people are so worried about out there, we can make a very strong community. We can maintain balance in the community. We can get back to the basic spirituality of believing in the Creator. And I think that's what I strive to do. I'm not perfect at it. But if we try, if you try, that's what it's about. Try to get to know one another. Don't try to stay off of drugs and alcohol. Just stay off of it. Take it from a recovering drunk. Life is so sweet, so precious, without that monkey on your back, whether it's drugs, alcohol, whatever your choice is. Life is so sweet, and people are so loving and so kind. That's why the Creator put us here, to love one another, be good to one another. And I will leave you with that. Thank you, my dear.
Thank you.
Rizin dan wawe ne gi kagi kemikoyan gidamin jamin dan gaye. Funding for this program has been made possible through the voters of the state, Minnesota, through a grant from the Art, Culture, and Heritage Fund. To hear more, feel free to visit www.nijiradio.org. That is www.nijiradio.org. Miigwech.